News is sponsored by Seacom Australia. Are you in need of a generator for prime power or backup power for your home or business? Seacom Australia can help. Seacom Australia is currently supplying power to the major mobile network providers, emergency services and paging networks, land and water authorities, all TV stations at Mount Victoria in Warburton, and Yarra Valley FM. Seacom Australia can provide generators from 5 kVA to 250 kVA. For higher sales and service, call now on 5962 4546.
Yarra Valley FM, 99.1.
I'm Mark Dransfield. The Prime Minister says all Australians should take part in Anzac Day commemorations. A school in Sydney has offered an exemption for a small cohort of Christian students who don't commemorate war. The State Education Minister says the school will be told it is not optional. Anthony Albanese says he agrees.
They should be participating, each and every Australian. It is a solemn day in our calendar. I'll be there at the Australian War Memorial and I'll be so proud to be there as the Australian Prime Minister.
The Federal Opposition Leader says he supports an increase in wages but is accusing the government of politicising an upcoming decision. Sean Bindley has more.
Labor has unveiled its submission to the workplace watchdog, calling for an increase to the minimum wage above inflation. Peter Dutton wouldn't be drawn on the exact amount he'd be pushing for.
Prime Minister's in search of a fight here. That's what he's doing, OK? He's trying to politicise what is an independent decision of the Fair Work Commission. We all support an increase,
increase in
wages. Yes,
and
well, we support the decision of the Fair Work Commission.
Dozens of firefighters have spent several hours working on a large fire at an equestrian centre northeast of Melbourne. 22 units responded to the blaze, which took hold of a 50 by 100 metre timber stable. It was empty when the fire broke out and no horses were injured. Heavy rain that's inundated parts of western Queensland has made its way to the state's southeast. Up to 35 millimetres is forecast in Brisbane today. The Bureau of Meteorology's Morgan Pumper says while it doesn't sound like a lot, it could lead to flooding.
Because of the widespread nature of the rainfall and this rain band, which is just drawing tropical moisture into a trough, which is bringing down the moisture from the atmosphere and really unstable. So with that, that means that flash flooding could be possible, as well as river rises, as pretty much across the southern inland and also into the southeast.
An investigation's underway into how a Sydney Metro service left a station in the city's north with a door open. Staff used their bodies to protect passengers from falling out of the train after it departed the station. Metro Chief Executive Dan Williams says the issue couldn't be addressed remotely and should have been fixed manually.
Which is a member of staff that goes to the train door to physically lock the door out of use, and that procedure has not been followed correctly. So that's the initial investigation that is pointing towards a procedural issue that hasn't been followed correctly.
The red meat industry says it has learned lessons on how to navigate trade tensions as the US flags tariffs on agricultural products. Donald Trump will announce the next round of duties tomorrow in what he's calling Liberation Day. Red Meat Advisory Council Chairman John McKillop says tariffs imposed by China in recent years are fresh on producers' minds.
Don't be too dependent on one market, and that's really the way the processes, in particular on the non-packer exporters, have taken their whole attitude of, you know, let's put a little bit of our dependence on China, a little bit on Indonesia, a little bit on Korea, a little bit on Japan, a little bit on US, etc.
And US prosecutors will seek the death penalty for accused murderer Luigi Mangione. The 26-year-old is awaiting trial for allegedly shooting dead health insurance boss Brian Thompson in December. He's pleaded not guilty to state charges and is yet to enter a plea for federal charges. This is AIR News. AFL and Melbourne coach Simon Goodwin believes clubs meeting with contracted players from opposition teams is the new norm. His comments follow calls for Eagle Oscar Allen to give up his captaincy after meeting with Hawthorn coach Sam Mitchell.
I don't like it, but if you're not doing it, you're not getting players to your footy club. So I think every club's in that process of going after any player and no one's off limits.
Captains.
Yeah, I think that's where we're at. Player movement's going to get more and more. As I said, I don't like it, but I want to be a part of it.
The Rabbitohs insist they won't be resting on their laurels after a strong start to the NRL season. Souths have defied expectations to sit inside the top eight, despite having Cameron Murray and Latrell Mitchell sidelined. They'll face arch rivals the Roosters on Friday night, and forward Jai Arrow says they're not patting each other on the back just yet.
The beauty of it is we're 3-1 at the moment, but
Don't want to get complacent. Don't want to, you know, be satisfied with the first month of footy.
And Western Force prop Tom Robertson says their Round 8 game against the Highlanders will be a big test. The Force host the New Zealanders on Saturday afternoon. Robertson says a win will set them up for the second half of the season.
It's a huge game. You know, they're a great team and we've seen them play great rugby this year and they're pretty close to us on the ladder and that obviously plays into as well. And then the week after the Highlanders, we've got a bye. So, you know, we've spoken about really want to go out on a high and, you know, enjoy that week off.
Australian Independent Radio News.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
And the weather coming up this week. We have a max of 25 today. Tomorrow, minimum of 8, max 21. Friday, minimum of 8, max of 19. Saturday, minimum of 7, max of 18. Sunday, minimum of 5, getting a bit colder, max 22. Monday, minimum of 9, max of 18. And on Tuesday, we have minimum of 7 and a max of 19. Beautiful weather coming up this week.
The voice of the Yarra Valley. That's us. Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And we are back at the Council Connection Show. A bit of a false start there. If you're in the studio, don't use mic 2 today. It's got a bit of a hiss. Hopefully that didn't hurt your ears too badly. Let's start again. Hello, Kelly. How are you?
Good, Michael. Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. We're here at the Council Connection Show for this month.
The sun's shining. I tell you what, I popped into the office earlier this morning. There was mist coming over the valley. There were the balloons up. What a great place to call home, hey?
Oh, it was an amazing, amazing time. And, yeah, hot air balloons. I saw hot air balloons in Warburton yesterday. Never seen before. Very interesting. First time. I know. I'm trying to think of where they look like they're landing in somewhere in Yarra Junction, maybe launching place. Yeah. But anyway, it's new stuff. We've got a few exciting guests today from the Warden Emergency Planning Group, and then later on we'll hear from the libraries, and then Kelly and I'll finish off this session with a bit of updates of upcoming events. A few big months coming up, some great events in the valley and in the Upper Yarra as well.
For the big people and the little people, with school holidays on the horizon.
Absolutely. So I'm going to kick it off to welcome Kevin and Gordon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for the privilege of being here.
Yeah, thank you. Now, I think we have a little mic issue too. I think we'll have to share a mic. Kevin, can we share your mic? Thank you. Little technical issues. Yes, there you go.
Good afternoon. My name's Gordon Buller. I'm born and bred in Warburton and still living there. And it was back in 2012 we had a request from the council. I think it was done by an advertisement in the local paper where they'd like people that were interested in the emergency procedures and things like that in the upper part of the valley. So I toddled off to a meeting at the Mechanics Hall after it was renovated. And Mark Summers, who was then the coordinator for emergency activities with the then Shire of Upper Yarra. And it was a group of about 10 or a dozen of us arrived, and he explained to us what his ambition was to set up a management group or a coordinating group, wanting for a name at that stage. So in the next year or so, we focused on producing basically a risk strategy of some sort to find out what we thought the highest risks were and things we didn't have to be too concerned about. And, of course, the first thing that was on the list, because fires have always been a concern in Warburton. I can remember floods too, but generally not as risky and difficult to deal with. But the top of our list turned up to be a large bushfire, and then followed by a small bushfire and floods and half a dozen other things. But the thing that always surprised me now in post all these events, pandemic was the last thing on our list, down about 12, I think.
Yes.
And then, of course, a few years later, we have a pandemic.
It happens,
and we've not planned a thing for it. We'd run scenarios and things for bushfires and had extensive discussions and talked to people about what happened in the past and how these things should happen in the future. Anyway, from there we progressed on and we got mixtures of a lot of people and a few people, but two of us kept going all the way along, and Kevin, who's here beside me today, we've been there since day one, but we have had a recent surgence of members, so we would quite welcome others if they wish to come along. I'll hand over to Kevin now. He'll just explain a little bit more as we roll along.
Thanks, Gordon. My name's Kevin Barger, and been a Warburton resident since 2012, so pretty much right after we...
Right at the start.
Started there, saw this ad in the paper and thought, yeah, I'd like to be involved in something like that. So I'm actually born in Michigan, but came to Australia in 2010, and I love Australia as a home now. So anyway, our group was always small, 4 or 5, 6 at the most, but we tried to do as much as we possibly could. We had a lot of community information sessions at the beginning where we brought in Melbourne Water or SES or CFA, and different agencies would come and talk about what they would do in emergencies in the area. So that has happened for the first couple of years. We did a bushfire scenario session, which was really well attended by the community. We had a afternoon and an evening session, and I think there was like 30 to 40 people at each. And it was like each of the agencies, again, CFA and Vic Police and SES, were all there and stating what they would do at various stages of an emergency. You know, we all are used to getting the messages now from Vic Emergency. And at each stage, they would say, okay, it says this, but we're actually going to be not in the valley. We'll probably be somewhere else. So don't expect to knock on the door. And so it was a wake-up call to a lot of people.
I think so. For, like, you know, a lot of people live here a long time. They've been through bushfires before or experienced them. But for new residents, like, no, it's prone for bushfires, but actually have no idea what that looks like or when that happens, who does what. So those information is so important to understanding how to prepare, but also understanding, you know, what's everyone doing at this point in time and what's the role of, you know, community before and after.
So after that, we spent a fair bit of time trying to elevate our visibility in the community. So we have a Facebook page and a website, and we've actually produced a couple of videos that are bushfire preparedness videos, and they're actually on our website that people can go to. So look, you just Google Warburton Emergency Planning Group, you'll be able to find our website. And there's a couple of videos there that talk about that. And we actually show those at the local...
The cinema as well.
Yeah, as a preview into the movies. So especially for visitors in the area that don't, you know, are surprised when you talk about bushfire risk.
There's a river right there. And that's people will say too. They don't really realise the heat produced by bushfires too, and the radiant heat as well. There's not just the fire itself, it's the heat components as well.
So at that time, we advocated to get fire danger rating signs installed in Warburton, and they could have put an electronic version in for $70,000. Or we do it the Warburton way, which is manually. So Gordon and I, mostly Gordon this year. He's been the warrior this year.
So when you, when people are driving to Warburton, you see those emergency signs saying what the rating is today. You know that Gordon's been out there this morning, changing and updating what's going up, what's happening. So every, you know, especially for visitors too, who knew the area, don't really realise they've planned their trip out here, but they don't really realise things change as you get further into the bush, and that risk really changes too.
Yeah. One of the main issues that we heard a lot about in the early days was communication, and it's still, even to this day, communication in the valley is difficult, especially when the power goes out and you lose that, a lot of the strength of the internet.
People are so reliant on text messaging their phones now, and that power goes out of those, and all those systems are interrupted, then you've got that, you need no options to know how to find out where to go and what to do.
And of course the main emergency information comes through the ABC, and we only had the AM 774 on there, so it wasn't always heard. I mean, on the main street of Warburton, a lot of static in 774.
Yep, there was definitely some black spots.
We worked hard to get a repeater tower put on Mount Victoria, so that actually brings an FM signal of 96.1 FM up, and that goes all the way up to Reefton, very well heard throughout the valley. So we were very happy. Yeah, that was quite a good success story that we got that installed. One another thing too was advocating for a community alerting siren on the Warburton CFA building. And with all the hills and the valley, it doesn't get widespread heard, but it does provide some awareness that, hey, something's going on. I should look on my Vic Emergency app and see what's happening. I hear the siren, what's actually happening. So that was really what that was for. And then we developed a community emergency plan. So it's a A3 page front and back. So it's got a lot of contact details and things that you should be looking to do in your family, places you can go to get more information. And then there's a complete map on the other side that shows from the fire refuge in Millgrove all the way up to the fire refuge in East Warburton.
Yes,
so that's cool. It talks about those, and then we have Warburton in the middle with all the various parts of Warburton that are significant for people to know what's going on there. So,
And those resources are so important too, because especially they're so, you know, you have the CFA or the Vic Police or emergency services coming in and really being active during that emergency, but people really know where to go and what to do, and that local information is so important, because when you're in a crisis, you need to know where to do and what to go, and also you have your own community, you have your own bushfire plan as well, so knowing when you're going to leave and how to prepare your property.
Yeah, I think CFA talks about that you know, every meeting, every chance they get with it. Have your plan. And unfortunately, still need to talk about that because people don't have a plan.
A significant thing that with the 96.1 on Mount Victoria, it even is even good quality out as far as Jembrook. So whilst it was originally designed to go to about Warrielec launching place,
because that point up high,
it's getting over onto it. So most of the hills of Coorgarup Road or the Jembrook Road, you can get the 96.1 as you're going across there. And one other thing with that is that it's not running off power from commercial power.
So yeah, it's not the grid.
It's got its own power supply up there, like generator, diesel generators there that are supplying the power. So it'll be going when...
So power kicks out, it'll still be able to get radio.
Or any other supply to the houses out. Kevin mentioned a while ago there about communication. We recently put out a questionnaire. We must have had hundreds of them go out in physical form.
Yes.
And then there was a lot went out by a, what are the codes you call them?
QR code. Yes.
And there was others that did it online. And we had, I think it was close to 200 responses have come back.
It's fantastic.
Now, the thing that's most people, when you look at the graph, and I know people can't see it here, but I've got one in front of me. And the thing that's come up most is... it's actually labelled lack of community connection. And this is something we've recognised now and we'd really welcome input from others around the community as to what they think we could do to improve connection between groups and between people, because I think there's a lot of people that are isolated insofar as they're probably retired and not interested in a local group.
Yes.
Or they might be in a local group and they go out once a month to say hello to other people. But I don't think they're connecting well. They may shop at Seville or somewhere
down
else.
Online, yeah.
And they're obviously, that must be why this is so high. the other one was the second one, which was not accessibility, that's not the one, accessibility to issue. You read that, Kevin, the third one. Anyway,
just accessibility issues.
Accessibility issues. So people that obviously can't get out and about to link up with other people. We as a group would welcome anybody that wish to come along to one of our meetings, and they can contact Kevin or I if they have difficulty getting there. But generally at the moment we're meeting on the first Wednesday in the month. Thursday in the month. And we meet at the meeting room at Wyrec.
Just up to the water park.
Water park, around 7 o'clock, and come along and join in. You don't need any qualifications to come along, but if you have got qualifications, well, we could probably sack the secretary and join you up.
And that work, that survey's been done, is part of the resilience work that you've been doing recently as well with Resilience Co.
Right.
So we're going to go a short break now with a song. We'll come back and talk about, you know, that survey you've heard, but also potentially what you're doing right now, because you've done some amazing work with getting the repeater station up and getting the signs up, and this is your sort of next big endeavour around looking at, and it's interesting to see when that survey came back, was that about connection, community connection, and accessibility, and really about what does resilience look like for Warburton and all those assets too. So we'll have a little short break for a song, the Cat Empire, the car song, and then we'll come back and chat about what's happening right now with your group, and then some ways to get involved and what's happening in the future.
the beat.
Back to the Council's Connection Show. We're here with Gordon and Kevin from the Warburton Community Emergency Planning Group, and we had heard just then from the Beatles called Come Together, and your group's been coming together a bit with the community, talking about resilience. And the Millgrove Resident Action Group worked with Resilience Co, funded by Mindery Foundation, around a community resilience plan for Millgrove, and you've just started that process too with Resilience Co coming together with yourselves and talking about what resilience looks like for Warburton. So can you tell us a bit about what that's been like and what you've been talking about?
Yeah, it's been a great process so far. We're just still earlier stages of what we're working on with that, but we had a contact from the Eastern Community Legal Center actually initiate a contact with our group and say, mm-hmm. you know, they're aware of the Resilience Canopy work that they're doing, and Eastern Community Legal Center has a community engagement lead that works with disaster recovery and climate justice. Mm-hmm. So they're working with communities. They say if they can work at planning, you know, for disasters, and if a community has prepared something ahead of time, the likely of legal activity afterwards is going to be a lot less if the community is prepared. It's yes. a resilient community in that. So that's really what they're involved in. So we do have to thank the Eastern Community Legal Center for their help on this, and also the Resilience Canopy. So we're lucky to have Millgrove already a couple of years down the track in their process with this. So, but we were lucky enough to also get selected to be able to get that assistance as well. So we're really starting on developing a community resilience plan. Mm-hmm. So we did another survey again and got that feedback that Gordon talked about earlier. And it's really about making sure that what we put in place is current, you know, and what are the people actually thinking. So when people do see a survey at the you know, to do it, please do it. You know,
yes.
We need, the more information we get, the better. With nearly 200 surveys we did get back, we probably feel we have a good representation of what people are thinking, but it's never too much to have, you know, put that information
out. And everyone else has their own perspective of like what those challenges are, but also what the assets that are in the community that can support, like the community groups, the individuals, the buildings and the spaces are all those assets community that can really support a resilient Warburton as well.
Yeah. So we're really looking to have a plan in place that thinks ahead, you know, after the, you know, we're not going to have a plan for when the emergency is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that's up to every individual. Some people may not even be in at their homes. They may be away. They may be, their plan may be to leave, whatever it is. But we want to make sure that we have some plans in place that are things that can pop up after the emergency. The risk is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But people are still, now we might be cut off from services. Maybe we have no power.
Mm.
Maybe the road is blocked. And we can't get access to that. So we want to have a plan in place for what facilities will be open in Warburton, who might be able to offer services, and it may be food or it could be just power. So, yeah, we're looking at some community hubs. So,
mm-hmm.
And Warburton's kind of a long community, you know,
yes.
Cut in two halves by the narrow road. But so if one half of the township might be cut off, you know, we need to be able to have things in the other.
Yeah,
half. So we're looking at various buildings. Could be like the Bowls Club or the Redwood Center or the Golf Club. These would be places where we're working on getting set up ahead of time, so people would know that they can go there and get some services. So at least ask questions and get information and that. So that's where we're working on right now.
Yeah, and interesting too with your survey, you saw like, you know, that community connection was one of those big interests or concerns of people as well, like the stronger connections there are before an emergency, it's more likely you're able to respond to emergency and recover quicker as well, because you're supporting each other, looking after them. And you know people who might be experiencing isolation, they're looked after and they have a plan, they know what to do, and they've got somebody there to help them out during those times as well.
Yeah. I guess the connected part of the whole process is something we're working on right now. We're not ready to announce it exactly just yet, but we're working on a way that we can connect the community, the whole 3799, so from Westburn up to Reefton, and we're looking at a project that could do that. So we'll be coming to council to ask for some assistance in rolling that out. But I think that'd be really good to provide that link and connect people that aren't or feel a bit isolated. So
yes,
it'll be regular information that they can get, and hopefully it'll be a real good process. So.
Absolutely, and it's interesting to think about the broader area outside of Warburton, but the 3799 districts, you have recently had emergencies like the landslide, and so it really does cut community in between, and obviously people who are connected really closely, if a road's cut down, it's quite an isolated, can be quite an isolated place as well, so there's many ways emergencies can impact community, and in very short periods of time, you just don't know what's going to happen, and it happens, and it's, you need to be prepared and know what to do in those times.
I've had the odd person that said to me, when talking about resilience, is what is resilience? And
yes,
to describe it briefly, and I haven't looked up the definition of it, but I see it with what I've learned so far in being involved in this group, is that we'll put some things in place, and there's a few basic ones we're doing at the moment, where it might be a meeting place where people will be able to help themselves to help more people. And for example, we've got a big plastic tub that most people have got in their household somewhere in the garage with all the old shoes in it or something, but this plastic tub's got things like sticky notes and a couple of notebooks and some Sharpie pens and a stapler and other odd bits and pieces that will help someone. So that's 72 hours after the fire is gone and the fireys have all gone back to the fire station. And one thing we've got to keep in mind is those sorts of people could be in Marysville or down at Cockatoo and the SES. We can't, those places are not the places we've decided for us to be holding things or doing things or relying on, because
absolutely,
they might not be any of them here.
Yeah.
So it's a case of you and me and our neighbours as to what of those that are left in town, like, mm-hmm. I might be gone to get a new pair of shoes at Eastland or something, and not be there, even though I know a lot of these things. But we're trying to put things in place so that someone can walk into the bowling club, which is one of our locations, because now with support of various agencies, we've got, well, there's battery power there, which will be able to charge phones and boil the kettle and keep the lights on for, I think, a couple of days or something. By then, there's a facility to plug a generator in, and council's got generators in stock at the Yarra Junction depot, I believe, so that'll be able to be plugged in.
Be operated up in
if it's more than a few days. So a building like that, a couple of our resourceful ladies from around the town soon get a meal on for everybody. We'll know where we can get food, like, you know, we know where the keys are to IGA or something like that. So there'll be, as Kevin mentioned before, possibly four of these we've thought about, but places where people can be a bit self-sufficient and organise themselves. I do have another thought of something there then. But the idea is to get these so as people can basically self-run them, and they can be opened remotely or something once something happens, or there'll be at least six keys around the town so it's not difficult to get in there.
Yeah, not worked out. And it's interesting, just that scenario you spoke about and talking about resilience, is you've mentioned, you know, a building, a facility like the golf club, but you also mentioned like the local community members who can come and help it out, but there's also the businesses who can come and provide some food. There's community groups like yourselves who help organise it. So all these different assets in community, and particularly in awareness, so many amazing community groups and places that play a role when they're working together to create a really strong, resilient community. You need that plan of bringing those people together, which is what you're starting to do now through that resilience canopy. Yeah.
So one of the things that we'll end up doing a little further down the track when we've got these hubs a bit more organized, we'll actually do a trial run and open it up to the community. Say, on the Saturday or Sunday, we'll have a trial run of a community hub. So just come and just have a wander around.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. A lot of people in Warburton have never been to the Redwood Center, or might not have been to the Bowls Club, might not have been to the golf club, but give them a chance to just walk in on an open day and see, get familiar with what's there.
So,
so if they did have to come in the aftermath of an emergency, they
know what to expect and where to go and, what so the place looks like.
And we'll present that information about what we'll, you know, kinds of things that could be offered at that facility or another facility, and you just get the... And while that's happening, the community is getting connected.
Yep, and talking and building connections with each other and individuals too.
I actually thought about an idea which, to get people to come into something like that, would be once the whole thing's, we're sure it's functioning and will function good to be able to display it, would be to have an old afternoon tea where
you know,
people bring a plate or bring something.
Yep, potluck.
And get them then to stay there for a little while so as we get a bit more connection between individuals or groups or whatever. And, food or something to drink often brings those sorts of people
together.
It
always works, yes.
Yeah,
it's a great idea.
Yep.
Now, we're going to head off and come to our library segment soon, but people want to find out more or get involved, where can they go to find out more and how can they be involved?
We're actually meeting tomorrow night at the YREC, like we said, and it's 7 o'clock, or 6.30.
Yep.
6.30 start tomorrow.
So first Thursday of the month, 6.30 at YREC, which is opposite the water park there.
Yeah. And if they're not sure, just ask around the main street. Where's the emergency planning group meet?
Yes.
Well, now we've introduced ourselves, so I'm Gordon Buller and this is Kevin Bargar.
Yeah.
I live in the main street. And, if you've got an old phone book, you'll find my house number.
Yeah. And you've got a very active Facebook page too, so you can find it on Facebook. And your website has great some information. And all the resources you've mentioned are on that website, but also the contact information too.
Yeah, contact details are there.
And lots of people in council know, so ask them.
Ask around. Ask your neighbour.
And I just want to make sure I mention that we need to thank the council for their support too. So Kelly Hopert and Kim Malamachi and Lisa Keel have been fantastic in supporting activity in the local community groups and us as well. So we really want to thank them. So ECLC and Resilience Canopy, the companies and groups are out there helping communities do this work.
Yeah.
And we're very thankful for that. We're going to try to maximize the using their resources as much as we possibly can to make this a success for Warburton.
absolutely. Thanks, Gordon. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Michael.
For the reminder, go to just Google or search a Warden Community Planning Group, Warden Emergency Planning Group on Facebook or on your browser, but also just tap on a shoulder on a neighbour or something in the street in Warden and ask about, and you'll find out as well. Thank you so much. I'd love to come back maybe later this year and hear about how that plan is going, maybe promote the event coming up at the golf club.
Mm. Yeah, sure. Sounds good. Thank you. Yep.
Thank you so much.
Weekend is the weekend and it's sunny in the park. Well, I stay here with my beer and fish and chips till it gets stuck. I got a lot of homework, but homework you can't wait. I never start my homework till it's already too late. My parents say think about your future and my teachers say the same, but it's hard when there's a basketball game at the park. It's 1998 and everybody's saying,
Aaron, you're gonna be a lawyer someday.
Sabina from Hillsville Library. Hello, Sabina. How are you?
Good. I'm very good, Kelly. Lovely to talk today.
As always, there's so much going on. I say it every month, but there is always so much going on at the library and, you know, the pitter-patter of little ones coming up to school holidays. Go. What's going on in the library for this school holidays?
That's correct, because this week being the last week of school term, so this will be the last week of our normal story times. And then in the 2 weeks of the school holidays, which ends in Easter this year, we will run a school holiday program both at Hillsville and Yarra Junction.
Fabulous. So I'm intrigued. There's always some fascinating things for the little ones and the big ones, but let's focus on the little ones first. So as far as Healesville goes, do we want to kick off with Healesville first and then pop across to what's happening at Yarra Junction?
Healesville will be perfect first, and perfect. We've certainly got finger painting fun. So what we try to do with our events in the school holidays is we make some booked events and then some just casual drop-in events. So today I'll be talking about the casual drop-in events. So there's no need to book for any of these activities, and they're all free. So we've got finger painting fun, and we just looked at all our finger painting colours, and we've got lots of them. So that's ages 2 to 6, and that's on Friday the 11th of April from 10 till 11. As I said, no need to book, just turn up. We've also got aerobics for kids, and that's ages 5 to 10, and that's a fun fill of event designed to get kids and families moving, and that's Wednesday the 16th of April here at Healesville Library from 10:30 till 11:30. And hold your horses, this will be popular. Lucky Dip Lego. So that's ages 7. Yes, ages Lego, perennially popular. So ages 7 to 13. So draw a card from the Lucky Dip box, and it's up to you to build whatever is shown on the card using Lego. And we've got lots of Lego and some retro Lego, which is my favourite, actually. Now, my favourite, of course, is the one that I'm running, which is, as I love writing comic books myself and I love teaching about comic books, so we're all going to make a comic book workshop. That's at Healesville Library, Monday the 7th of April. So I'm running a morning session, 10 till 11:30, and an afternoon session from 1 to 2:30. And what I do in those sessions is I help the children make a 3-panel comic strip. And at the end of the day, we're going to make it into a comic book that you'll be able to pick up at the library the next day. So I think that's going to be lots of fun.
Comic books.
Yes. Yeah, we've made a few comic books over the years at the library, and children are so funny. They're so creative, and yeah, we have a great time doing it. So I'm really looking forward to that.
And the wonderful little witty storylines that come through, and yes. You've done it before. It's quite popular, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, no, it's very popular. I've done a number of different comic book workshops, and I tried to tweak them all. Last school holidays, we made giant comics. Sorry, I'm waving around with my hands to show how giant they were, but they were. They were about 3 metres by 2 metres, and everyone made comic panels to a bigger comic picture. So, but yeah, the comic strips are very popular.
A bit of a comic collab.
Exactly. It is a comic collab. But it's not all happening at Healesville. We've got lots happening at Yarra Junction as well.
Yeah, what's happening across there?
They've got Easter Family Story Time with the Toy Library, which I think is going to be a fantastic event. That's Monday the 7th of April from 10 till 11, and that's ages 0 to 6. So, yeah, you'll be able to check out to see what's in the Upper Yarra Toy Library collection. And then a movie screening on Wednesday the 8th of April from 2 till 3:30. Actually, in the brochure, it doesn't give the name of the movie, but I have it on good authority that the movie is Runt, which won the 2023 Children's Book Council of Australia Book of the Year Award. And I haven't seen it myself. My sister has, and she said it's a fantastic movie. So, yeah.
Okay.
And, oh, this is intriguing, Active April, a dance and craft session. So it's a dance session, so to get you moving, and then after dancing, create your own kite that you can take outside to fly around while getting exercise and enjoying the fresh air, which sounds like a great fun event.
What a unique way to get a bit of creativity but a bit of energy thrown in there as well.
Exactly.
And with these beautiful days, perfect for flying kites.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's ages 3 to 12, and that's free. Did I give the date for that? That's Wednesday the 15th of April, 10:30 till 11:30. So you can pop into any of your libraries and get the program for those events or look it up online.
And as far as looking things up online, Samina, where do people head? What's your address there?
So it's yourlibrary, Y-O-U-R, library.vic.gov.au.
Fantastic. And so a bit of finger painting. I just had a very large trip down memory lane. That took me back to kindergarten days, which was quite a while ago. But lots of opportunities to do some finger painting, move around with some kite making and aerobics and dance and Lego and, you know, the old school classics, Lego and comic books. Like, you can't go wrong. Yeah. So there's certainly tons in the school holidays for our little people, but it's not all about the little people during the school holidays. What about the big people across the valley? Yeah.
The big people get some activities too. So I'm covering events in the whole of April. And excitingly, here at Healesville Library, we've got a young writers group. And so that's for writers in years 7 to 10. So coming to a writers group at Healesville Library to meet fellow writers, enter writing competitions and learn some skills. So the next session for that is on the 8th of April from 4 till 5 p.m. and snacks are provided. So we just do, it's free, but bookings are required for that.
Fantastic.
Now, yeah, grown-ups. We're also looking, it's actually squeaks into May, the start of May, Saturday the 3rd of May, but I just thought I'd give everyone the heads up because it doesn't quite fit into next month's session. So Saturday the 3rd of May at 10:30, we've got What Does Healesville Sanctuary Actually Do for People and Wildlife? So we're very excited to have the director, Ross Williamson, talk about the sanctuary's conservation work and their plans that they have for the future. So I think that's going to be really highly interested session.
Ross is fabulous. There'll be lots of little insights shared for sure.
Excellent, excellent. But, there's an interesting author talk at Yarra Junction Library. Mm-hmm. And actually that's this Saturday, the 5th of April at 10:30. So meet the author, and the author's name is Mark Mapot. Russell, and he has a hit book called The Hit Woman's Guide to Reducing Household Debt.
Okay.
So, and we'll hear all about his, so it's a fictional story set in the majestic Dandenong Ranges. What's not to love about that?
Lovely.
And he created characters with dubious pasts. Ooh. Kelly. Interesting, interesting.
I'm sure there's plenty of those up in the hills. Yes.
Exactly, exactly. So come and find out all about it. Hear Mark talk about how he wrote his book, how he got published and things like that. So they're really interesting, always fascinating talks. So that's Yarra Junction Library, Saturday the 5th of April at 10:30.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, look, there's lots on, and I say it most shows, but I spend a bit of time at the community link there that neighbours to the library there, and it's always a buzz of activity, always lots of people coming in, returning books, signing up to be a member, or just browsing and catching up with people. It's such a beautiful space, nice and open. There's like the little quiet corners if you need a space to sort of retreat to, but there's also wonderful spaces to connect with others. So how do people sort of connect in, and whereabouts is the library? If you're not familiar with the library in Healesville or Yarra Junction, how do people find you on the street?
Okay, so here at Healesville, we are tucked away. We're tucked away behind the MIMO and next to Coles. And our street address is 110 River Street. So we're at the Community Link building. And look, joining the library is free and easy. And, you know, we're also doing a lot of promoting now that there's so much free online material that you can access through the library. You can stream free movies, free audio books, read national and international newspapers online, magazines. We've just got so much material. So just come in, photo ID if you've got something, and come in and join the library.
It's so easy. I'm a member a little further afield, and if I can do it, anybody can do it. And it's great. It's you book a placement for a reservation for a book, and when it comes in, it's kind of like a little Christmas present. You get a message to say your book's arrived. You pop in and you say g'day to the friendly staff. You grab your book and it doesn't cost a thing. It's so accessible. And like you say, there's the old fashioned touchy feel book, but there's also tons of audio books and online resources as well. So great to connect in with the libraries, always something to do. And Sabina, always wonderful to have a chat to you on our Council Connection show.
Thank you very much for that, Kelly. Really appreciate it.
And we'll check in with you and the crew at next month's show. So all the best for the school holiday programs, and we look forward to chatting to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kelly. Bye.
And next up, Michael, oh my goodness, the sun is shining. I don't want to jinx the weather for the weekend events too soon, but there is so much happening in the lead up to the school holidays and during the school holidays.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this Sunday, free fun in Coronation Park. So the Hillsville Homegrown Food Fair is on between 11 and 1, followed by the wonderful Community Voices in the Park. So a great opportunity to pop down, connect in with community groups and get involved in some homegrown fun. Jumping across to something a little bit different, grab your helmet, grab your bike and head along to the pump track in Coldstream. So on Friday, the 11th of April, between 2 and 3, there's going to be a really cool opportunity for young people to do a little bit of coaching, some demos, some skill building, get involved.
It's a great track and beautiful view looking over the farms there too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just get out into the country air, move those legs and maybe make some new friends as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
And talking about crank it up in your bike, you can crank up this weekend at the Crank Up Festival at the Apiary Museum. It's on April the 5th and 6th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tickets are $15 for adults, concession 10. Kids under 15, you're free. How good is that? Great. Got sausage sizzle, got the engines running there. We've got some old draft horses there, live blacksmithing, heritage trade demonstrations, kid activities, donkey rides, jumping castle, food truck, and, of course, the wood chopping as well. And then soon after that, we have the Millgrove Light Trail, Saturday the 12th of April. This is the second year for Millgrove Light Trail. You go on a little tour of Millgrove in the evening, a beautiful live show there along the Yarra in Berrang in Millgrove, where you hear some beautiful music, hear some stories of the history of Millgrove and look into the future. Tickets are free, but there are limited tickets. There'll be shows starting or tours starting from 6 o'clock. I think they finish at 8:30, so you got to book the session you would like to. So jump online, both those events, just jump onto your browser and search Crank Up Yarra Junction or Light Trail Millgrove and they'll pop into the top of your browser. But get tickets in quick for Millgrove Light Trail. They are selling out. They were booked out last year. So if you really want to go, it's an amazing event run by the Millgrove Resident Action Group and the tickets will sell out. So get onto it right now. That's us.
That's us.
Another month.
Wow, another month. Thanks again, Michael. Always great teaming up with you.
Always, always. And again, Warburton Emergency Planning Group, great group to be involved in. Some exciting activities coming up with them around thinking about community resilience for Warburton and beyond. Get involved. Just search them on your browser or popping down to Wyrek on a Thursday, first Thursday of the month from 6:30, and you get to enjoy meeting some new people, working together and talking about what community resilience looks like for Warburton.
Fabulous.
Lovely. We'll see everyone again next month, but stay happy, stay safe, and enjoy the beautiful weather we have today.